Are you a good gift giver? What do you think? Or maybe I should ask your spouse or somebody close to you whether you're a good gift giver. What would they say about you in that regard? Recently, my recent gifts to my wife, I'll let you assess this, all right? Windshield wiper blades. In fact, what is that, little bow around it? Did I hear a no? Bicycle tube? What do you think?
No.
Come on, people. Lindor chocolate truffles?
Yeah.
All right. I want to come back to that. Am I a good gift giver? Historically, not so much. And Doris would probably have to agree with that, I think, if you asked her. But are you a good gift giver? We have, somebody already mentioned, Christmas is coming up, and how many already have Christmas gifts bought? We have people here, can you believe it, that already have Christmas gifts bought. It's not me. I have a hard time even understanding that. But because it's so hard. I find it so hard to figure out what to get that I just tend to like put it off and keep putting it off. But what about God? Is he a good gift giver? Is God a good gift giver? Does he give good gifts? As you may know, I'm doing this series on the question, is God good? And we've been looking at some of these questions. If you were not able to hear them, they're online on our website. I invite you to check them out. The first one on the 8th, is God good? And then on the 15th, God's good creation. And I also encourage you to check out Reuben's sermon last Sunday if you didn't get a chance to hear it. Excellent message. It's not online yet because our web guy has been on his honeymoon. I don't know what his priorities are, but anyway, it should be on there this week. But check those out because this is kind of jumping into the middle of a discussion that's already begun a couple weeks ago. You might need to fill in the pieces with some of the things we've already talked about. So, question, if God is good, then why does my life stink? Maybe you might have that question at some point or another and things that you're experiencing. Or maybe some of your friends might ask you that question or allude to that in a conversation. If God is good, why does my life stink? Why have I been dealt this bad hand? Why am I not receiving good things from him? Well, what is your struggle? I don't know what your struggle is or what it has been. But my guess is each of us have, in one way or another, kind of asked those questions, and maybe today even are asking some of those questions. And I know our friends are. I've heard this question from many different people that I've encountered in life, asking a question somewhat like this. Well, what do you say? What's your answer to them, your friends? How do you encourage them? There would be a lot of things we could say, and probably some things we could say that would not encourage and maybe even add to that hurt or struggle that they're experiencing. We could think about a lot of scenarios. I think just of one in the Bible, of Job. If you read the book of Job, and for many chapters, he's asking these questions. God, why is this happening to me? I am following you. I'm serving you. And yet these things are happening to me. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on here. I don't understand it. And so these questions exist often. Does God really give good gifts to his children? That's the question I want to examine this morning. Does he really give good gifts to his children? And how do you honestly answer the question? And I said honestly. I think we can quickly jump to answers. But what's your honest answer? And as I've looked at it this week, and I've thought about it actually in preceding weeks, I'm not convinced that many in the church really believe this 100%. I'm just not convinced of that. And I'll explain that a little bit as we go along. I think in my own battle this week, as I was preparing this message, and I'm thinking, yes, God gives good gifts. And I think of some scenarios. I think about, for 2 years I've been praying for something. And I don't see anything. In fact, it looks worse today than it did maybe when I began praying about this particular issue. What do I do with that? How do I deal with that? What do I do with that question, maybe discrepancy in how I understand God? I don't know about you. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, yes, God gives good gifts. Sometimes, like sometimes He answers my prayers. Other times, maybe not. Like, you know. So what does that mean? Does it mean that He's not reliable? Like, what do I do with that? If I think sometimes He answers them and sometimes He doesn't. And you start going down this list of questions in your mind. You say, well, maybe He's not capable in this situation. Maybe He can't handle this situation. And we immediately think, well, that's silly, isn't it? I mean, God is sovereign, right? Surely He can handle any situation. Or maybe He doesn't understand my situation. Maybe He's somewhat disconnected from my life. He's like, he's got so many things going on over here with this person or with this nation or whatever that my little problems over here, He's just not tuned in to what's going on with me. But we know that's not true either. Scripture tells us very clearly that God knows us intimately better than anyone else. And He doesn't step away. He's always with us. So we know that can't be true. Well, maybe He's slow. You ever felt like He's just slow? Like, God, I've been asking for this. We've been asking, you know, like, come on. Like, isn't it time? And you think, maybe my prayer is stuck up there in some bureaucratic office that's understaffed. You know how those places are. And it's just there's a stack of requests that they just haven't been able to get through yet. Ever feel that way? Sometimes I feel that way, like it's lost in some stack somewhere. But we know that He's not slow either. Scripture tells us that His timing is perfect. It's perfect. I was thinking of the song we sang this morning, and we sang, "You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us." You sang that this morning. You sang that. You believe it? Sometimes we struggle with that, even though we sing the words. Does God give good gifts to His children? My hope and prayer today is that we can take a step forward in believing that this is true. That we can believe that it's true, not just sometimes, not just for other people, not just for other churches or other communities, but for us today, whatever it is, whatever our situation is, that we can believe that this is true. My text for today is Matthew 7:7-11. Naomi read the parallel text from Luke. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" The title of my message is God's Good Gifts. So in the words of Jesus here, he says, your heavenly Father gives good gifts to those of you who are his children. If you are his child, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are his child. And this scripture says that your heavenly Father gives good gifts to you. It couldn't be much clearer, could it, from scripture? It seems to me that Jesus either expects or maybe he's heard these questions before, because he kind of defends God. He says, you know, is God really going to do this? Like, our Heavenly Father is going to give a stone when asked for bread or a serpent when asked for a fish? How is that possible? In fact, Jesus said God gives gifts far beyond what we as mere sinful humans could possibly even think. So you may think, and maybe you are in the human standards, you are a good gift giver. Maybe you're a lot better than me. It wouldn't take a whole lot. But Jesus says God, as a good gift giver, is like, we can't even imagine how much greater than any, the best gift giver there is here today. God is way beyond, so much better. That's what Jesus tells us here. So why? Why is this discrepancy? Why do we struggle with this? What are the things that get us confused? And I want to talk, not a complete list, but a few things that have come to mind for me in thinking of this, why this is a struggle for us. And the first thing that I thought of is that we sometimes, or maybe often, don't know what is good for us or best for us. You think that's true? Do we always know what is good for us? Do we always know what is best for us? I think the answer to that is no, we don't. It reminds me, when I was a kid, I don't know, has anybody ever ordered anything out of the Johnson Smith Company catalog? Anybody? Am I the only? All right, Lonnie, thank you. I thought this was the coolest catalog around back when I was probably 8, I don't know, somewhere in that age. And so all these cool things that you could order to play tricks on people, and I don't know, I didn't remember what. I spent probably a day poring over, maybe it was longer, over this catalog and writing down in the order blank. Remember we used to do that? Write down an order blank and then send it in the mail? It's like, yeah. And I had this whole thing, just this whole order form just filled out, line. And I had like 8 of this and 10 of this because they just looked so cool. I'd never seen them before, but I wanted a lot of them. And so the problem was that I didn't really know how to like complete the process. So I went to my older brother, Kent, and I said, can you like help me get this order like filled out and get it mailed? And he looked at it, and he just kind of laughed at me, and he's like, you don't want to order this stuff. He said, you're going to be disappointed. And, you know, I think he was right. I don't know, how many of you have ever ordered something, and you get it, and you're like, oh, like, you ever been disappointed by something you've bought? Yeah. It's just like, what was I thinking? It looks so cool in the magazine, the description, the advertisement, whatever. And then you get it, and it's like, might be even cool for a little while, but then next year it's out in the yard sale, you know, and you're like, I don't. And of course, you don't get anything, you know, most of what you paid for it. But I think we need to understand that we don't always know what is good for us. We need help with that. God is our Father, and we are His children. We need to remember that relationship and the wisdom of a father versus a child. We just don't often know what is good for us. Have you ever said no to your child, those of you who are parents? Anybody ever said no to your child? How could you? I mean, things that they want? How could you say no? So cruel. Yeah, I think we've all said no. Have you ever been said no to by your parent? Anybody want to admit to that? Yeah, I think we've all experienced that. So we've been told no about things that we thought were like the thing, you know? And we were told no. What if your parents had given you just everything that you asked for, they just gave it to you? What do you think about that? Would it have been good? Anything you wanted, everything you wanted, they just said, oh, I want this. There you go. You have it. Would that have been a good thing? I remember, I don't know how old I was, maybe 5, I'm not sure. But I was with my family, we were walking through the metropolis of Ogre, Michigan, of about 1,000 people. But there's a highway that goes through Ogre, where I grew up, and actually in Ogre, it's like 4-lane there. And I don't know what happened. I have faint memories of this, but my mother was walking on one side, over on one side of that in town, and my brother, I don't know who it was, at least one of my brothers, maybe two of them probably, we were walking on the other side. And for some reason, I got it in my head that I wanted to be over there. And so I started to run across the road, and my brothers grabbed at me, but they missed me. And I shot across 4 lanes of highway to the other side. Because I saw something that was better over there, right? My mom was over there, and I wanted to be over there with her. So was that I probably should have had some interference, right? That was not a good thing for me to do, even though in my mind I thought it was a good thing. And so I don't want to run this into the ground, but I don't think we know what is good for us as children. We don't know. Larry Crabb says this. He says, it's God's deep passion for us that prevents him from giving us what we think we want. Think about that. It's God's deep passion for us that prevents him from giving us what we think we want. We all know that's true, isn't it? But when he doesn't give us some of the things that we want, we still chafe at it. Like, God, you've got to know that I know better. Come on. Somehow we think that, and we kind of laugh at that, but we do think that way. You know, we've had this problem from the beginning of understanding what is good for us, haven't we? If we go back, it starts pretty early in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Was the tree good? Yeah. It was good. God made everything good. Remember? It's perfect. Of course it was good. In fact, it was beautiful, it says here. A delight to the eyes. And Satan had also convinced Eve that it would make her wise if she took some of the fruit. And she believed it. Adam with her. Was it good for Adam and Eve to eat it? I know that's a rhetorical question, but no, it wasn't good for them to eat it. God said no. He said no. One thing in all creation, they could have everything else. God said no, this one thing, you can't have it. What do? We want it. And so they ate. It was a poor choice. Even though they thought it was good, it was actually bad. Terrible, to be more accurate. Our Father knows better than us what is good for us. And we need to grasp that and understand that and believe that. He knows better than we do. God also disciplines us at times as his children, doesn't he? And that never feels good either, does it? Discipline. Has anybody ever enjoyed discipline? I don't see any hands from our parents or from an employer or whatever. Discipline. And I'm going to talk next week about just on the area of discipline. I think confused teaching doesn't help us out here. There are many preachers who would take this passage to mean that God wants to give you everything that you want. And that's what they preach. Anything that you want, God wants you to have it. I don't often pick on people, but when I read quotes like this, I can't resist. Joel Osteen, author of Your Best Life Now, says this: if we say it long enough, eventually we're going to reap a harvest. We're going to get exactly what we're saying. I hope not, Joel. I hope not, because some of the things I say, I know, are not good for me. So I disagree with him on that statement. I agree that God gives good gifts and that he wants what's best for us, but his definition of that is much better than my definition. And I need to trust his definition. This picture of God the Father and we his children is a very important one for us to keep in mind of our understanding about what is good for us. He sees the big picture. We see just a little one. As children, we are often impatient for what we ask. We know that growing up. We know that with our own kids. We know that as adults, we really haven't changed a whole lot in that area. We're still impatient about things. We live in a society that believes we should have everything now. Is that good for us? I don't think so necessarily. The stories of like Abraham and Sarah who waited 25 years for this son that was promised to them. Can you imagine waiting for 25 years? God says this is going to happen. 24 years, it still hasn't happened. You're 98 years old. Uh-huh. Sure, God. Yeah. But it happened. It happened. We're not very patient. But his promises are being carried out often over not just weeks, months, years, but hundreds and thousands of years. His promises are being worked out. We can't even comprehend how to make a plan like that. I can't even get a 5-year plan in place, let alone a 1,000-year, 2,000, 6,000. We can't get our hands around that. But that's, God sees it all, and he's working that way. We want Amazon Prime 2-day delivery. That's what we want. I order it today. I'm going to get it on Tuesday. Maybe earlier if things work out. We are children growing up. That's what we are. Our focus is almost primarily on this life. It makes sense, but it messes with our ability to understand God's goodness. God's blessings must always mean good things in this life: health, wealth, marriage, 2.5 children, good job, retirement, and you go down the list, whatever that good thing is for you. And I don't mean to pick on Joel Osteen, but he has another quote here that I just... God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money to fulfill the destiny he has laid out for us. God does want us to have finances. He does bless people with riches. But I don't think that's a given. In fact, God warns against having plenty of money, doesn't he, in his word? Like, be careful about that. It's going to take you down. So I believe that God wants your faith to grow more than he wants your finances to grow. I think God wants you to be holy more than he wants you to be healthy. What do you think? Which is worth more? And that's a hard thing to say for those who are struggling with poor health, with difficulty in health. To be good, to know his goodness, to show his goodness to the world for his glory. Our human focus is the here and the now. And God does truly care about that. But we need to understand that it's all temporary. The here and now is all temporary. like a vapor that appears for a little while and it's gone. That's how Scripture describes our lives, as a vapor on this earth. I'd like you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this week to get some perspective. Paul paints a bit of a different picture, one of some difficulty and some brokenness in this life as a follower of Christ. Yet he says that it should not discourage us. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We do not fix our eyes on the temporary things of this life. It's a hard thing to do. There are many that are good things that we enjoy in this life, but they are not the best that God has for us. A couple quotes from Larry Crabb. He says, Satan's masterpiece, sorry about that, is the self-sufficient person who has made life comfortable, who is adjusting well to the world and truly likes living here, a person who dreams of no better place to live, who longs only to be a little better and a little better off than he already is. He contrasts this with the Spirit's masterpiece is the person who prefers to live elsewhere, who finds no deep joy in the good things in this life, but who looks closely in the mirror and yearns to see something different, whose highest dream is to be in the presence of the grace-filled Father, whose life here is consumed with preparing to meet him there. I don't know that I would put it exactly that way, but he really got me thinking about where my focus should be in life. We may sometimes know what is good, but do we know what is best? Do we know what is best? The ultimate goodness that we could ever experience in life is God himself. It makes sense, right? But many of us, I don't think we really believe that. I mean, if you were to look at our priorities in life, where we spend our time, our thoughts, our money, are they aimed clearly at a pursuit of God, or are they aimed primarily in pursuing other things? Where does all of our time and energy, where is it devoted? If you were to put it on a scale somehow and add it up, it tells us where we think the best is and what we think the best is. So I'm not sure we believe it, but it's true. And if it's true, it stands to reason that God's primary objective with us in order for us to experience goodness in our lives would be to point us to himself. If he is the ultimate goodness of the world that we can experience, then his objective with us is to point us to him, right? So anything in life that points us to him or causes us to draw near to him or grow deep in our relationship with him would be good, right? Because he is the ultimate goodness. And this is often only accomplished through the shattering of our other, quote, good dreams. Maybe it's the only way. I don't know. But often it's the way that it's accomplished, is the shattering of the other, what we think are good dreams. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I love this verse from the Psalms. And for many years, I looked at it as kind of a contract. Like, okay, so God, if I delight myself in you, then you're going to give me everything that I want. Yes. But it took me some time to realize that when I delight myself in the Lord, he becomes the desire of my heart. That's how it works. We suddenly realize that He is greater than anything else we could experience in this world. That's how it works. He is the greatest goodness I could ever experience for now and for eternity. Nothing else comes close. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And it's that trust issue. Do you trust Him? That He is good. It requires a step of faith on your part to step out and say, yes, I believe that's true. Even though you don't see it, you don't understand it, I believe that's true. God might allow some of the most difficult things in your life because through them, you will truly see Him in all of His glory. And maybe only then will you go deep in that relationship and experience a goodness you would have never experienced without that difficulty. I don't know. But I think it's good. Even those difficult experiences are good if they push us deep in our relationship with God and we see Him in all of His goodness. Luke 11 that Naomi read earlier, it's a parallel passage. And it ends this way, a little bit different. Verse 13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So why does it say the Holy Spirit instead of good things or good gifts? Interesting, isn't it? We could talk a long time about that, but I believe it's simply because the Holy Spirit, or God in us, is the best gift that we could ever wish for above anything else. God's presence in us and with us. How could we ask for anything better than that? Back to my recent gifts to my wife. Windshield wiper blades. You guys were like, no. But you know what? It really bugs my wife when she can't see because of in the rain. It bothers her a lot. It doesn't bother me much. I don't even notice when the blades go bad because it's just like it's the same thing with my glasses. She look at my glasses and say, "How can you see through those things? They need cleaning." I'm like, "Well, I didn't really notice." So she cleans my glasses often because I think it bugs her more than it bothers me. But it means a lot to her to have blades that work. And on the car, they were getting bad. And so I was like, I'm going to get these for her. So I'm sorry, guys. That's a good gift. Bicycle tube. Her tire's been flat for a while, and she's been saying for a while, well, I'd like to go on a bike ride. It's like, I need to get that fixed. And so I got a bicycle tube, and we went on a bike ride last Sunday. Sorry, guys. Good gift. But here's the thing. The better I get to know Doris, the better gifts I can give her, right? The better I know her and what she really appreciates, what she needs, the more she, more that I can give to her. And who knows us the best of anyone? God knows us better than anyone. And you know, it works the opposite kind of way with Him. The better that we get to know God, the better we understand the goodness of His gifts to us. That's how it works that way. The better we know Him, the better we understand. And there's some things that we'll never understand. Only when we're in glory, maybe one day will we see, oh, man, I see how that is, God, but I never got it in my life on earth. I never understood it. I'm out of time, but I got to tell you one last story, if you don't mind. On our trip out west, I was really looking forward to going to Humbug Mountain. It doesn't sound great, but it was 15 years earlier, our family had stopped there just on a whim. It's a state park nestled down between two mountains right on the coast. of Southern Oregon. It was just a beautiful place. I remember just kind of soaking it in. And so I had it in my head, we're going to go to Humbug Mountain on this trip. And so we did. And I had high expectations, okay? Like, you know how that works. They're like, right up here. This is going to be the most awesome place. And so we got there, and we got into our campsite, and it was kind of crammed in between two other campsites, and like our picnic table is like right here, and the other person's picnic table is right here. And so we were kind of like, yeah, it was just, wasn't quite what I was anticipating. But still, it was still good to be there. And the second day, I think it was, we were there, we decided to go hike Humbug Mountain, which I had never gotten to do the first time we were there. So I was kind of in my head, like, I want to hike Humbug Mountain. Yeah. So anyways, we set out, and my enthusiasm was kind of waning a little bit because the beach was really nice, and so I wasn't that excited about it, but I had been talking about it, and I knew Doris, like, knew I'd been talking about it, so it was like, we're going to hike the mountain. So we went up, and I wasn't that excited about it even going, but we started off, and it was kind of, yeah, it was steep and narrow, and we got to this muddy place, and Doris was like, I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, we can get past it. So then, and at the bottom it said 3 miles. Okay, I was like, 3 miles, not bad. Probably do that. Well, we hiked and hiked and hiked, and it did not seem that we were getting any closer to the top of the mountain. And the day was stretching on, and I was like, I could just think of the beach down there and just sitting in the chair on the beach, and I was like, why are we doing this? Like, this is crazy. Why don't we just go down and sit on the beach? And so I said, well, you know, why don't we turn around? Like, I don't know how much further it is. And Doris was like, we got to be close. And so, okay, we'll go. So we went a little farther. We kept seeing these mile markers, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, it's like that was only the 2 mile mile marker. Like, we got another mile yet, and it's 1,700 feet up. Like, that's the trail. I mean, it's all up, straight up. Steep and narrow, you just step off the side and you would slide down the mountain. Doris doesn't like those kind of trails anyway. And then we were, like, forging through, like, as we got to the top, like, the brush would press in, and you were just kind of, like, you know, going through, like, it felt like a forest. And it's actually kind of like a rainforest climate on Humbug Mountain. It's interesting. It's beautiful. Hike, but I'm not sure we were really, like, enjoying the beauty at that time. I said again, I think we should stop. Doris like, it's got to be up there. It's like, we got to be there. And so, you know, we were like, well, we don't want to miss the peak, you know, and see the beautiful view out over the ocean. And so, okay, we'll keep on going. So, and sure enough, it was not that much further. We got up to the top, and there's Doris. This is the view. Like, we couldn't see anything. Just trees. Like, I couldn't see the ocean. Nothing. And I was a little irritated about the whole hike. And you know what? We got to go back down now. It was 3 miles, but it was 3 miles one way. So 6 mile trip, round trip. So and during the process, you know, we started off like pretty chipper, and then as we went, we kind of started to like kind of get irritated with each other. Like, whose idea was this? I thought you wanted to go. Well, I didn't really want to go. I wanted to sit on the beach, you know. You know how that goes. Like, if we would have just talked about it beforehand, we probably would have been sitting on the beach. But, you know, communication, we're still working on that. So my point is, you know, our expectations are a problem for one. with everything. Just their problem. And God, I think, always has different things for us than what we expect. And as I look back on that hike, I see a lot of good things that I don't even know that I saw at that point. We didn't fall off the mountain. That's a good thing. Our marriage, we were working on our marriage on the trip. Like, we were getting to know each other again. And that rough experience there and then coming together was a great thing for our marriage. Now, you would look at that and say, how could that be good? It was good. We worked through it. We understand. We communicate better. And we still had a good day, believe it or not, the rest of the day when we got back down and sat on the beach, exhausted. Doris's knee, I don't know if you know, but in February, she injured her knee, like when I was in Niger. And it was really bothering her. And then in March, trying to play volleyball, she really injured it. She couldn't walk. We had to carry her off the court. She couldn't walk for several days, could not put any weight on it. And we were thinking about this trip coming up, and I was like, how is this going to work? I'll tell you, we prayed for healing for her knee, and God healed it. I know that he doesn't do that every time, but he did that time. And we did that whole mountain, up and down, and her knee was fine. In fact, we hiked over 400 miles all total on the trip, and she did fine. Well, yeah, she did fine. A few mishaps here and there, but... And just the fact that we're here on a mountain, a rainforest mountain on the coast in Oregon. How can it get better than that? I could go on, but I just want to say in those little things that God gives good gifts. And we don't always see them. We don't see them necessarily at the time. We may never understand sometimes what they look like, but he gives good gifts. And I'm sorry for going late, but I wanted to tell you that story. So my invitation to you this morning is, would you trust him? That he is good. That he gives not just good gifts, but the best gifts to his children. There's one simple indicator in this passage, I think, of our lives, of how much we believe this truth. And that is how much we ask. Jesus lays it out here. Ask. How much do you ask? Have you gotten tired of it? You haven't gotten what you wanted? You stopped asking? How much do we pray? What is the priority of prayer in my life? What is the priority of prayer for our church? There's so much that God wants to reveal to us of himself. There's so much he wants to do in us and through us and around us. If we would just believe that he is good, that he gives good gifts, if we would ask our good Father. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened.